This is the Ford Show, starring Dinah Shore with Peter Lynn Hayes and Robert Emmett Dolan and his orchestra. And our guest for tonight, Gary Moore. All presented by the Ford dealers and Lincoln Mercury dealers of America. And here is Dinah Shore.
Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-ay. My, oh my, what a wonderful day. Plenty of sunshine, heading my way. Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-ay. Mr. Bluebird on my shoulder. It's the truth, it's actual. Everything is satisfying. Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-ay. Wonderful feeling, wonderful day. Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-ay. My, oh my, what a wonderful day.
Plenty of sunshine is heading our way.
Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-ay. Mr. Bluebird on my shoulder. It's the truth.
It's actual.
Everything is satisfactory. Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-ay. Wonderful feeling.
Zippity-doo-dah, wonderful day.
Dear friends, this is Dinah Shore, and I'm mighty glad to have you with us for the first Wednesday evening Ford show of 1947. Helping us see the new year in is our guest, the fellow Jimmy Durante calls Junior, and we call the great Gary Moore. Also celebrating with us is Robert Emmett Dolan and the orchestra, and of course, we couldn't start the new year right without Peter Lynn Hayes.
Hello, Dinah.
Where the treetops glisten and children listen.
Wait a minute. Hey, Peter, what is this?
But, Dinah, don't you get it? We are now the first program of 1947 to do White Christmas. There are now only 358 shopping
Peter,
days left.
Peter, please. You know, it's kind of sad to think we've got to wait another whole year. Christmas was so wonderful this year. Of course, it rained a bit.
Rained a bit, she says. While the rest of the country was doing Christmas carols at Hollywood and Vine, they were singing sea chanties.
Well, so what? A little water couldn't dampen this Christmas. What a Christmas. Say, how did Santa Claus treat you?
Not very often. Frankly, I did pretty well, though, Dinah. I got 3 pipes, 6 boxes of cigars, 4 cigarette lighters, 3 smoking jackets, 5 cigarette cases, 2 cigarette holders, and a book.
What was the book?
The Evils of Tobacco. How did you do, Dinah?
Oh, sensational. My husband was wonderful. He surprised me with everything I expected.
Just what exactly did you give him?
Oh, I gave George some lovely things. I gave him a beautiful set of aluminum pots and pans, an electric percolator, and a gorgeous salad bowl.
Well, swell. You bought George everything your little heart desired. Why don't you get him something for himself, Dinah?
Oh, all those things are for George.
The pots and pans?
Sure, they're for cooking, and he loves food. And I got him a salad bowl because he loves to eat salads.
Why didn't you get him a sink because he loves to drink water?
Well, I got him that for his birthday. Gee. Peter, your attitude is, well, I think in these times people ought to get practical gifts. Now, George and I don't think people should give silly things.
Yes. What did George give you?
Did you go to the Rose Bowl game today?
I'd rather not discuss gruesome things, Dinah. Come along shortly now. Since you don't like useless gifts, what did George give you for Christmas?
Well, he got me a necklace, a bracelet, a negligee, and some perfume.
My, my, how cool. There you were hoping for a brand new wash tub.
Gee whiz, Peter, you make me sound awful. It's unfair. The way you put it, I got all the nice things, and George got a lot of dull ones.
How would you put it?
What about the Rose Bowl game? Were you able to get in today?
Oh, sure. I can't understand why everybody made such a fuss about getting tickets.
Well, I heard it was very difficult. How'd you get yours?
Through the usual, normal channels. I punched a ticket seller in the nose. Did you listen to the game on the radio?
Not the game itself, but I listened to all the other programs about it.
What other programs?
Where the comedians all told how far their seats were from the field.
I heard some of those jokes, rather exaggerated, weren't
they? Oh, brother.
I compiled a small list of those things. There was one fellow who said his Rose Bowl seat was so high up his fountain pen started leaking. Another guy, Dinah, said he sat so far from the field that he was able to get a divorce because the location of his seat made him a resident of Nevada. Then another fellow said that...
Peter, where was your seat?
My seat? You're not going to trip me into one of those things.
Well, come on, give it to me without the wild statements. Just a simple fact now. Where was your seat located?
Well, it wasn't near.
Just the fact.
Okay, the exact location was seat 7, mm-hmm. row 1, section A, highway 66.
Music, Bobby. Tonight, we're going to do some of the songs we've most enjoyed doing through this past year. Here's one that kind of slipped in quietly in 1946 and then overnight became a tremendous sensation. I think it deserves every bit of the great reception it received. A rose must remain with the sun and the rain, or its lovely promise won't come true. To each his own, to each his own, and my own is you. What good is a song if the words just don't belong, and the dream must be a dream for two? No good alone, to each his own. For me, there's you. If a flame is to grow, there must be a glow. To open each door, there's a key. I need you, I know. Can't let you go. Your touch means too much to me. Lips must insist on true motherly kiss, or they'll never know what love can do. To each his own, I've found my own, one and only. You know, Tom Hanlon sometimes has the answer to the queerest questions. For instance, take this one.
Mr. Hanlon, what does a fella do when his car is deframmerated?
What's that?
Well, I just said that old car of mine seems to have the most awful epizootic in the farmer's joints. Maybe there's rusty snow in the intabulator or something. Anyway, the turbo Mertron's wobbling, and there's a very mysterious set of winches. Maybe the carboxylation needs dehumidifying. What do you say, Mr. Hanlon? You're the automobile expert around here.
Well, I don't know what the trouble with your car is, Mac, but whatever it is, better take it quick to your nearest Ford dealer. No one, but literally no one, can service a Ford so expertly. To keep your Ford running smoothly, looking its best, your Ford dealer has these four advantages. First, he uses genuine Ford parts, precision made to fit perfectly. Second, his mechanics are factory trained. Third, they use Ford-approved methods. And last, special Ford equipment. No one else can fill this prescription. No one else knows your Ford so thoroughly. Better make a date with your Ford dealer soon and let him check your car from bumper to bumper. For every service need, it pays to keep in mind that for Fords, there's no place like home.
Thank you, Mr. Hanlon. I couldn't do a program of 1946 hits without these next two tunes, which are up on top for a good part of the year and which I think are going to be remembered for a long time to come. Give me 5 minutes more, only 5 minutes more. Let me stay in your arms. Here am I, begging for only 5 minutes more, only 5 minutes more of your charm. All week long I dreamed about our Saturday day. Don't you know it's Sunday morning? You can't sleep late. Give me 5 minutes more, only 5 minutes more. Let me stay in your arms.
All week long I dreamed about our Saturday day.
Don't you know that Sunday morning you can't sleep late? Give me 5 minutes more, only 5 minutes more. Let me stay in your arms. Folks are dumb where I come from. They ain't had any learning. Still they're happy as can be, doing what comes naturally.
Doing what comes naturally.
Folks like us could never fuss with schools and books and learning. Still we've gone from A to Z, doing what comes naturally.
Doing what comes naturally.
You don't have to know how to read or write when you're out with a feller in the pale moonlight. You don't have to look in a book to find what he thinks of the moon and what is on his mind. That comes naturally.
That comes naturally.
A nice young man named Harry is stuck on Sister Flo. She'd like to marry Harry, but his wife won't let him go. If you saw my pa and ma, you'd know they had no learning. Still they raised a family, doing what comes naturally.
Doing what comes naturally.
Doing what comes naturally.
Naturally.
You know, 1946 was our first post-war year. As such, it deserves careful scrutiny, so we're planning to go over some of the year's highlights for you. To lead us in this cavalcade of 1946, we've invited a man who in 1946 solidified his standing as one of radio's finest comedians. Ladies and gentlemen, Gary Moore. A very, very happy new year to you, Gary.
Well, the same to you, Donna. May your days be merry and bright, and may all your piano players be president.
Oh, Gary. Gary, you're
Republicans.
Nice.
Republicans.
Gary, you're very nice. You know that?
Isn't she cute? No, she is. It's too bad George Montgomery's got muscles. Donna, it's been a wonderful day for me. I spent the whole day taking a look. A long, slow, wonderful, thrilling look into 1947.
A thrilling look into 1947? What have you got, a crystal ball?
No, a new Esquire calendar. You know, it's going to be quite a year. February will probably be banned in Boston.
1947. Just think, Gary. In 3 years, it'll be 1950.
Yeah, boy. In 3 years, 1950. Gee whiz, what a year that's going to be for me, Dinah. Practically the turning point in my whole life.
Really? What's going to happen?
Then's when I get to refill my new fountain pen.
Isn't that exciting?
Gary, huh? Is that all 1950 means to you?
1950? Well, let's see. The yearling will be a threeling. Durante will be married to Margaret O'Brien.
Gary, 1950 is the halfway mark in the century. Just think, there are people in Los Angeles who will live to see the year 2000.
Not if they're pedestrians. You must come to my show Friday night. I love it.
Gary, please be serious.
Hey, just a moment. Happy New Year, Gary.
Well, a bubbling Bismarex to you, Peter. Bismarex is a Rexall product, folks. I knew I wouldn't get a rise out of you, but I thought I might get a raise for me.
Hey, Gary,
Gee, look at you two guys. You've both got the same haircut.
I beg your goddamn pardon.
Dinah, my crew haircut's nothing like Gary's. He looks like he just stepped out of a pencil sharpener.
Mr. Hayes, you happen to look like something that is given away free by the Fuller Brush Man.
Come on now, fellas. Let's not fight over our hairdos.
Well, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to start making cracks about Sonny's tufts.
Well, I think both of you have very nice heads of bristle.
Look out. Dinah, frankly, I like it like this.
Yeah, I do too, Pete. After all, fuzz does everything. For that, you can come two Fridays in a row. And Dinah, you don't know how convenient this crew haircut is.
Yeah, you see, the average fella has to go into a barbershop every 3 weeks and say, Harry, a haircut, please. Whereas once a year, I walk into a barbershop, sit down in the chair and shout,
harvest time!
You're perfectly right, Peter. I always say there's nothing like the smell of new mown hair.
Now, wait a minute, fellas. We weren't supposed to get sidetracked onto crew haircuts. We're here to say a word or two about 1946.
Dad, that's true. Stupid of us, my dear. Good old 1946.
What a year.
Way back in 1946, that wonderful, wonderful year.
There was a housing shortage from Azusa to Nome.
You even paid a bonus to sing Home Sweet Home.
Oh, way back in 1946, it all seemed so long ago.
Butchers all developed new smiling faces.
My haircut turned out to be Peter Lynn Hayes's.
Kilroy wrote his name in the doggone displacer.
Take it away, Pete.
1946 passes in review. On January the 1st, 1946, America greeted its first post-war year. We show you now the typical American on January the 1st. It is the morning after New Year's Eve, and he faces the new year with quiet, subdued dignity. ...1946 staggers on. The war could not be entirely forgotten during the first post-war year. We had gotten deeply into the war habit. For example, when President Truman sent out his Christmas cards reading Greetings from the President, 4,000 men reported to their draft board. The war and its shortages influenced everything, even humor. Here we present a typical post-war joke.
Say, Gary.
Yes, Dinah.
Who were those ladies I saw you with last night?
Those were no ladies. That was a nylon line. Next scene, please.
Yes.
Science made great strides in the post-war period. Many new drugs were invented, and they saved ailing millions. Fountain pens that wrote under waters were invented, and they saved ailing radio comedians. Science also made great strides in the field of the cigarette. Here is a scene in a cigarette factory. A batch of cigarettes is being prepared.
Well, let's get this over with. Uh-huh. First, we homogenize it.
Yes.
Now we pasteurize it.
Yes.
Now we simonize it.
Uh-huh.
Now in goes the honey and the glycerin.
Uh-huh.
And the menthol.
Uh-huh.
And in goes the anti-irritant.
Yes.
The cotton filter.
Yes.
And the cork tip.
Yes.
And there we are. The cigarettes are finished.
Right. That makes 2 million of our cigarettes on their way.
Right. Wait. Oh, my goodness. Get them back. Get those cigarettes back.
We can't. What's wrong?
We forgot the tobacco.
In 1946, science made great strides in the field of aviation. Here's a scene at a modern airline ticket counter.
Well, madam, this is a picture of our new HB-90. It accommodates 220 passengers and has 8 motors and flies 900 miles an hour.
Wonderful. Now, I
don't... And here is our HB-95. This accommodates 300 passengers, has 10 motors, and gets across the country in 3 hours.
Fine. Now, I'd like
One moment, please, madam. Now, here is our new BX-100. Carries 500 passengers, has 15 motors, and goes around the world in 2 hours. Now, what were you going to say, madam?
I'd like to make a reservation.
Are you kidding?
Yes, there's nothing like good old American know-how. We build planes with know-how. We build trains with know-how. But you can't get a reservation know-how. Yes, indeed, 1946 marches on. We now examine the economic situation in 1946. To give you an analysis, aces and nines, to give you an analysis of the post-war economic situation, we have invited Professor Gary Moore of the New Economic Foundation for the study of old economic foundations. Professor Moore.
Thank you, Dr. Hayes. Ladies and gentlemen, the science of economics has fascinated the world ever since the first man turned to his nearest companion and said, "Boy, is business lousy." In examining 1946 from the economic standpoint, we find that there were a series of cycles. There were semi-annual cycles, biannual cycles, and semi-annual bicycles. Now, to keep these cycles in mind, you might read my new book on cycles entitled Wheels in Your Head. Now, this book may be just a trifle difficult for the average layman to read, inasmuch as it has not yet been printed. Of course, it's very good eyesight. Now, 1946 suffered from a delocalization of the conversion prerequisite, which is the ratio of the positive quotient to the de-emphasization of per capita decontrol. This is serious. The English economist, Lord Crunch, who was the father of the Crunch theory by a former marriage, he feels that our problem is due to the export of gold ingots as against gold outgots. You follow me? This says, Lord Crunch, causes an unstable monetary situation. On the other hand, two of our leading American economists say that the entire situation was caused by a black cat walking in front of the Treasury. This I wouldn't know. Now, the economic pattern of 1946 can best be described...
And thank you, Professor Moore. 1946 moves on.
What a year!
Way back in 1946, it all seems so long ago.
Brooklyn lost the pennant by a very close score.
Tommy Manville lost his crown to the great Artie Shower.
And Harry Truman played,
"Give Me 5 Minutes More."
Way back in 46.
Get back to the things in 1946 that really happened. Here's a song about which there could be no doubt.
In a quaint caravan, there's a lady they call the Gypsy. She can look in the future and drive away all your fears. Everything will come right if you'll only believe the Gypsy. She could tell at a glance that my heart was so full of tears. She looked at my hand and told me my lover was always true, and yet in my heart I knew, dear, somebody else was kissing you. But I'll go there again, 'cause I want to believe that you see. that my lover is true and will come back to me someday.
Here's Tom Hanlon with a Happy New Year prophecy.
For many of you, this is the year a dream will come true. In 1947, many of you will get that Ford in your future. You'll actually own and drive the car that's an outstanding candidate for the car of the year. Maybe your Ford will be the famous V8 with the same type engine used in America's costliest cars. Maybe it will be a 6, the most modern 6-cylinder engine being built today. As George Campbell of Detroit writes, in past years, I've driven several 6-cylinder cars of other makes and can truthfully say that the Ford 6 is the best performing 6 I've ever driven. And either way, friends, whether your Ford is a V8 or 6, it will have the same king-size brakes, the same lifeguard body of heavy-gauge steel, the same rest-ride springs, the same smart styling inside and out. Along with friendly good wishes for a happy new year from your Ford dealer, here's an invitation. Drop in and see him soon. Let him tell you more about the Ford in your future. He and we both hope that future will be early 1947.
Thank you, Tom Hanlon. Here's one of the cutest songs of 1946. Nobody knew what it was, but everybody sang it. Shoe fly pie, an apple pan, Dottie makes your eyes light up. Your tummy say howdy, shoot like pie, an apple pan, Dottie, I never get enough of that wonderful stuff. Shoot like pie, an apple pan, Dottie makes the sun come out when heavens are cloudy. Shoot like pie, an apple pan, Dottie, I never get enough of that wonderful stuff. Mama, when you say, Mama, I don't want cake, Mama, for my sake. Go to the oven and make some ever-loving shoo-shoo pie pie. An apple pan, Dottie, makes your eyes light up. Your tummy say, howdy, shoo pie pie. An apple pan, Dottie, I never get enough of that wonderful stuff. Pie, an apple pan, Dottie makes the sun come out when heavens are cloudy. Shoot like a pie, an apple pan, Dottie, I never get enough of that wonderful stuff. Mama, when you start to bake, I don't want no cake. Mama, mama, for my sake, go to the oven and make some ever-loving shoo-shoo pie pie. An apple pan, Dottie, makes your eyes light up. Your tummy say howdy, shoo pie pie. An apple pan, Dottie, I never get enough of that wonderful stuff.
Shoo-shoo pie pie,
an makes your eyes light up.
Light up. Shoo-shoo,
I never get enough of that wonderful stuff. I never get enough of that wonderful stuff.
Be with us again next Wednesday night when the Ford dealers and Lincoln Mercury dealers of America again bring you Dinah Shore with Peter Lind Hayes and Robert Emma Dolan and his orchestra. Our guest will be Peter Lorre. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.